You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Skycloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned for Between Two Worlds.
Welcome, everyone. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, and you're watching and listening to Between Two Worlds on PBSRadio.com. I'm a psychic medium and paranormal investigator. Yes, here I am. I'm in the room. And tonight's guest, we've got a really fabulous guest this week. I've actually been talking about this guy, I don't know how long. I've had him on before last year. We had him on. We actually talked about Spooked, the ghost of Waverly Hills Sanatorium. We talked about Children of the Grave. I wanted to get Chris back because he's got some really fabulous native ideas, new things happening. He's got a new video out. It's going to be released on Sci-Fi. It's called Possessed. And these guys are some major, major fabulous things. Now, Chris Booth is actually investigator himself. Well, let's wait. Sci-Fi. Channel brings viewers the spirit of Halloween season with wall-to-wall programming. Sci-Fi Channel presents the 31 Days of Halloween Marathon, Los Angeles, California, September 22nd, which has already been passed. This fall, Sci-Fi Channel is the ultimate destination of all things Halloween, featuring the all-new 31 Days of Halloween programming extravaganza. Now, beginning October the 1st, which is already passed, this marathon will serve up the spookiest fare that Halloween has to offer, including the Ghost Hunters live on Halloween night, which hasn't passed. Sci-Fi's 31 Days of Halloween Marathon, featuring over 250 hours of horror, oh my God, sci-fi movies, series, miniseries, and originals. The Marathon of Chills begins October 1st at 8 a.m. and concludes on Halloween night with Ghost Hunters live. Highlights include horror favorites, The Grudge, Saw, Death Tunnel, Freddy vs. Jason, which I have not seen yet, Children of the Grave, and Spook from the Paranormal Filmmakers, which I have seen. I'm glad that you're at home. The Booth 20 Brothers. Is that Booth 20 Brothers?
No, I think this is Space and then. If we had 20 brothers, hey, I would be making films faster, okay?
Spook TV and Sci-Fi Channel present the 31 Days of Halloween. Now, I want to talk about Possessed first. Now, folks, you know, also, we do have Ustream.tv stream links onto BBS Radio. You can see me on my pretty face on the page in the front. You can also, down below that page, you'll see on YouTube that actually Chris and the guys have actually installed it. They put on YouTube the commercial of Possessed. And we took it, we installed it here on our front page. So now you'll see it on there live, and you can actually watch it and take a look. I'm telling you, this is actually going to be pretty freaky because I've seen some of my times, but this is absolutely fabulous. Now, Possessed, produced and directed by the Booth brothers, which is Chris, one of the twins. This shocking documentary from the epic reality of filmmakers, the Booth brothers, Spooked, Children of the Grave, as seen on Sci-Fi Channel, will be released on DVD. The Possessed is a paranormal investigation of the twisted world of possession. Cases include a chilling true story of the Waseki Wonder of 1877, America's first documented spiritual possession of a 13-year-old girl from the small town of Waseka? Yeah. Who became possessed by spirits of the insane dead. Now, that's actually really weird. Insane dead. While exploring an insane asylum, an old insane asylum, in St. Louis, the filmmakers then investigate the real 1949 Exorcist diary. You know what? That'd be cool. The true story behind the motion picture, The Exorcist in Depth, The Possessed, is a terrifying look at modern-day possession and its evidence. Now, demons do exist. The Possessed will be released uncut and unrated on DVD, utilizing the latest in paranormal, research like technology and an army of paranormal professionals. The Booth brothers searched for the scariest entity known to man, the unholy ghost. Is that Chris?
Film on location.
I've had that sometimes. film on location, the actual haunted houses, churches, and asylums where the events took place. Exclusive interviews with Father Francis X. Cleary and Father Faherty, the last remaining priest of the most infamous 1949 St. Louis exorcism. The paranormal cast, I won't put this in there because I'm going to include these guys in. The paranormal cast, Keith A., John Zaffis, who I know, Rick Hayes, Rosemary Allen Geely, Paranormal Task Force, Bishop James Long, Denise and Michael Jones, Stephen LaChance, Bill Chappelle, Troy Taylor, Anita Talbull, ISPI, LGHS, and the Booth Brothers on December the 1st, folks, from the DVDs released, 2008. Now, welcome, Chris.
Wow. You need to take a drink of water after that. Okay. Are you running for president?
You know what? I'll freak you out. I was asked to run for president in one of our churches. And I said, no. My wife will
vote for you. I'll vote for you.
Anyway, now, your, let's put it this way. You're doing some major work. Now, how long have you been doing this one called Possessed? How long does this one take you to do?
This is about, we actually started filming it when we were doing Children of the Grave. And this is too much on the story. We're including the Secret Wonder, which is a small town in Illinois. It's about 5,000 people now. When that case happened, I think there was anywhere from 500-600 people when he lived in that town. But it's a 5,000 town city, and we were picking up stuff for the Children of the Grave, but the story got too crazy, and we couldn't just how stories go, especially on television. You only have about 10 to 20 minutes, depending on, what sort of stuff you have on it.
Yeah.
We just came up with too much stuff, too much investigative stuff. So we needed to make a whole show out of it because it was too incredible. I mean, it is the first, America's first documented possession. And it was documented in 1877. Okay, back then they had, clairvoyance and spiritualism and all that stuff was big back then. It was huge. And it was like noted everywhere that this has got to be the realest and coolest thing that happened. And it's actually a spiritual possession, which is an interesting concept. And it's a 13-year-old girl that gets possessed by a girl that died 12 years earlier, and she was 19, and she takes over the body of a 13-year-old girl, becomes that girl, and that girl actually moves into the house of the parents that lost the 19-year-old girl and becomes her.
Wow.
She actually is her, and the parents accept it as of her, as that is her now, because she knew everything about it, didn't know the girl, and, whatever, but she was also possessed by five of the different entities.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all journal, it was like in a big journal back in 1877, which we had the real journal, which we actually based the whole story on. Then we went down and filmed it in the real houses. They were still there that it happened in. We set up a modern day seance, but not with people, with high tech equipment and everything that's the latest and the coolest in paranormal technology. And we went ahead and tried to contact her and found out incredible stuff. And then we found some of the very last remaining family of her. And she was 83 years old. Her name was Joyce. She was a great niece of the girl that was possessed. And she tells us the story of what happened when she had met her. And it just goes on and goes on. And it's just absolutely crazy. So that's kind of the secret wonder part of it. So it's incredible.
Now, this was 1877. This was the one that was Secret Wonder. This was the one that was.
Yeah, yeah. 1877 in Illinois.
Now, is this the very same one that's the Mary Laurency Venom? Is that how you spell it?
Mary Laurency Venom is her real name. And the one that possessed her was Mary Ross.
That's strange because the last name Venom, oh my God. It sounds like a snake. You think about it.
Yeah, well, Venom was a big. Name back then. There was quite a few Venoms, and they actually ran the city. They were the bankers. They were the trade union. They had run everything. There's a lot of other cases of different things that came up when we started investigating, including a little boy that was burned on a stove alive by his father. I mean, all kinds of other stories came up. Wow. True story. It was incredible what we went into, especially with the new technology we're using.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there like, okay.
Well, are you familiar with some of the latest, I don't know if you're familiar with the latest technology. All you paranormal people should be fascinated, but we're using a lot of different stuff from different inventors. One of them is some of the stuff we're using from Bill Chappell, and it's basically ESM meter for all you guys who know what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how that picks up energy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And you know what EVPs are, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the paper. Okay. Well, this basically takes the energy and turns it into words.
Now, I was watching a part of that on the documentary, or a piece of it, the commercialized area of it. I was noticing a lot of lights, a lot of multicolor lights. Is this actually this very same machine?
Now, that's a different, we put up a laser grid, one, so because we know entities, spirits are attracted by energy. So the idea is like, off to the flame.
Yeah, very definitely, yeah, they're connected to light, yes.
So we put up a very big laser grid, but also the laser grid is there to mean that basically you can see a shadow cross it. Will they break the lasers into like a electronic alarm system, that kind of concept. So we put up laser grids to the whole house and expect to see the shadows will break the grid as well as attract the energy. That was the laser. So the other devices actually pick up ESM energy and it turns it into words. These machines have like a 5,000-word dictionary.
Wow.
And it turns it into words. And so, like, you could take the device to, like, a place where somebody got burned. And it'll say burn, hurt, pain, you know, and facts, like, there's a girl, and all that kind of stuff. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's very computerized. So it's basically, it's almost like a sensitive. If you look at some of the I remember one thing, some of the movies were actually the computer itself is feeling, trying to feel emotion. So the spirits are doing the same thing. They're trying to share what they are going through.
Well, basically, it goes on the level of the more the intent of the level of the EMS, the more it's coordinate with the word it comes. Like, if the word murder was to come up, okay, obviously the EMS energy would be incredibly crazy. Because it has a reader on the machine as well. So you can see it will spike. When it comes to be a very word that will disturb you, the meters will spike.
Okay. Okay. We got a caller calling in, I think, if I hear him beep in the background. Is there a caller calling in?
This is Glitter Bitch with Paracon.
Hi!
How are you?
Good.
I'm sorry I'm a few minutes late. I'm actually in the middle of two business meetings going on at the same time, and I'm like, hey, I got to cut out and give Derek White Sky Cloud a call.
Chris Booth, this is Sarah. This is Sarah Lester.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Sarah Lester, the Paracon.
Hello, Ms. Lester. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well now that I switched the date of the event on the economy in America, and I just got done watching the presidential debate. So. The stock market's looking really bad, and I just had to make an executive decision to basically switch the date until after the presidential election, so that way the business people that are involved with Paracon can afford to actually make it down there. So before I made that decision, which was yesterday, and I still haven't done a press release on it, this is my official press release, actually. This is my official
Chris?
Press release.
Have you met Sarah?
No, I heard about Paracon going on. I have heard about it's in Las Vegas. What date is it now?
It is going to be on President's Day weekend. It is going to be Monday, which is President's Day, February 16th, and Tuesday, February 17th. And all that ties in with the fact that we are going to have the Frank's Box down there. And so everything actually is looking up and up and up because of the switch of the date. Now we can do something more patriotic. Now we can do something that represents the American side of the paranormal community, as well as it's also on Valentine's Day weekend, so we're going to incorporate that into an anti-vampire Valentine's Day type event as well, because there's going to be a lot of things going on the weekend of the 6th of
Valentine's Day, and it's my birthday, so it's perfect.
Well, there you go.
Oh, see, I'm just pulling out miracles right and left. That
there
sounds like a really good birthday party. So we're really looking forward to the whole Paracon experience, simply because of all the tremendous speakers that we have on board, all of their reputation, the fact that we aren't telling ghost stories, we are actually bringing documented proof. We are having necromancers there, so you know something's going to be going down if we have necromancers there with the Frank's box and all of the speakers that we have there, all of their abilities. We have a lot of mediums there, not to mention the energies from just having the vampire community there as well, which when I first started the event, I got a lot of flack because certain people in the paranormal community, and I'm not going to name any names because I'm not like that, but they were just giving us grief because they're like, well, what does vampires have to do with paranormal? I'm like, we are the paranormal. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
We see things, now, we experience things that, you know, unless you are around us,
you basically
would know.
What's going to happen now, we're running it, so we're going to be doing the show, doing the paranormal, the Paracon in February.
Yep.
Chris, basically, Sarah, you're inviting Chris to be part of this?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, this is a business meeting, actually, being set up on live radio. I love it.
Well, you've been invited, Chris. Well, you know, this is a good, she's kind of a businesswoman. She actually using her time to push her show. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
I'm a multitasker, man. I'm a multitasker. It's like, why not kill two birds with one stone, talk about Paracon, talk to Chris, and see what we can work out here, because everybody has been telling me to get in contact.
Really 2 hours from you. I'll tell you, we just did the Mid-South Convention in Kentucky, which was very, very beautiful people down in the South, gorgeous. We had a great time down there. It was a nice party Friday night, and had some incredible speakers, Patrick Burns, Ghost Hunters, and all the other people were down there. And we had showed there what you were showing, which, and thank you, Derek, for putting that up. That's really cool of you. That actually is an 8-minute sneak preview of what we're showing. It's kind of like the making of it. And I tell you, when you start going and actually investigating the real exorcist story, there's nothing scarier and creepier when you start talking to the real people that's involved. Because you never really knew, you know, you really never know what's the truth on that story. You know? I mean, we all know it's a boy now. Well, if you don't, you do now. It's actually a boy, not a girl, that was 13 years old that got possessed.
Yeah.
And what happened to him, and talking to the people that were, you know, that's still around, which is not very many, but
is that Dewey?
No. Well, you know, what's happened is what you see in that trailer is our story is told by 6 different people were possessed.
Okay.
So they actually helped tell the story of the real, of those 2 infinite possessions. And what's really cool is that you can't believe the parallels that they draw.
But you think about, I'm sorry to cut you off for a second there, Chris, but you realize, if you look at it, I'm not sure if you've actually seen this, but I'm looking at these ages, and these are kids.
Yes, they are. And what they do is they all do the same thing, and they did the same thing the Exorcist boy did.
Yeah.
And while we're actually down in Kentucky, we interviewed a few other people that had some serious problems. It's incredible, the same path that they walk that happened to, in 1877, after 1949, there was by Annalise Michel.
Yeah.
That was a horrible case that happened.
Yeah.
And we've also got some stuff on that, as well as something that happened in 1929 in Germany. And it's just intense to see it. I mean, Phil and I, that's my partner and brother in crime, has been editing the show. Obviously, we tried to get it to sci-fi by October, but we couldn't make it because it ended up, the show ended up being 3 hours long.
Wow.
And they wanted to try to get turn it into a mini-series. But the thing is the show is truly credible and logical, but also very scary because you know it's the truth now.
Yeah,
you know what's going on in these asylums when they bring somebody in, whether they're possessed or they're not mentally together, what they put them through. It's really intense. And talking to the priest, oh, my God.
With Paracon, what we're trying to do is actually bring that information out to the public and to the mainstream. And with a lot of the national promotion that we're doing, we just got done doing the Tyra Banks show, which is going to air on Halloween, actually. We're hitting, you know, middle America market right here. And a lot of them have questions, and a lot of them have their doubts. And my main platform is to bring that information to the public, because, you know, so many times you have the ghost stories and the ghost chasers, but you don't have the real actual documented proof. And one of my main aspects about the convention in itself was I wanted to talk about the history of paranormal activity. I wanted to talk
have Chris right there. This is what Chris is going to do. He's going to bring the history in, because I would say you're pretty well the main researcher of this program.
Well, I could use them. So I put in, yeah. I have a lot of great people behind me that put a lot of time into these shows that are from the different states that we film in. But I mean, you're talking about anywhere from 6 months to a year and a half of just going through paperwork before we actually hit the road and drive down there.
Definitely.
You know, and so we know what we're trying to get, but we never know what we're going to capture.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't get a lot, and sometimes you get more than you bargained for. And luckily, we've always been able to capture. They've basically did very well and performed for us, and we've been able to capture them and bring back and tell the story.
Great.
So, but I believe that they performed for us because we tell the truth, and we also make sure that if anybody's abandoned and forgotten, that they're not left out.
Did you go through? Have you gone through the places that, like, after the possessions, or have you known of the possessions? Did you have a priest go in there to bless the areas, or did you just basically, after you've done your research, just walked away?
Well, no. When it's to do with possession, we enter with a priest and we leave with a priest.
Okay.
I'm more of a Buddhist. I do believe in the overall God thing, but far as how far religion goes, it is really man-made, a lot of it. I'm more of a spiritual chap, but at the same time, when you see all this evil and all this bad stuff, it makes you want to believe. If you don't believe in God, it makes you want to believe, because if you believe in God, you better realize you're going to be believing in the devil.
When you were there in the building, did you feel any uneasiness of yourself? Did you feel you took anything home with you?
That's an interesting question, as I've been asked that many times, and I've also had psychic mediums say that you have something in your bedroom now. And of course, you know, if you don't feel that, you're already freaking out. Okay, great. I'm going to go wash my sheets now. You know, that kind of thing. But there was sick of wonder. That house made me sick. And I don't know if it's really the possession of the girl's spirit that made me sick, because they used to use the house for seances, and a lot of people brought in a lot of uninvited, you know, spirits. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on in that house. And with the proof that we got, it's very uneasy. As far as the exorcist case, knowing that the fact and talking to the real priest and many, many witnesses along the line to know that it can't be made up. And, of course, getting a hold of the real diary, the one that they haven't edited and the one that they won't release. And then talking to, forensic type criminal investigators who own, I did an interview with him, he owns the real diary, and he got it because he needed it in his cases, because he was dealing with a lot of serial killers that said they were possessed. So he wanted to know the truth.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I found out, more than it was shocking, it was absolutely heartbreaking what these people have done.
Definitely.
To people. I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but, you know, there really wasn't a lot of talk about possession until The Exorcist came out.
I know. I remember when I was 16 years old. I was 16 years old when I watched that. And when I watched the very first one, I was in a theater in Calgary, Alberta, and I was sitting with my first girlfriend at the time, and she was laughing watching the movie, and I had a very hard time dealing with it. I literally ran outside to get my breath.
Yeah, it was scary, and it's still scary today that
yeah.
the movie still is very twisted. Now, you know, it really, nothing really happened. I mean, it talked about the stuff that happened on the set and the curses. That really didn't. It wasn't that much. It was more Hollywood doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what is a very interesting concept. You know, William Blatty, who wrote The Exorcist, wrote a lot of those sequels. The third one, if you remember, the second one was terrible. The sequel to The Exorcist, but the third one had some disturbing parts on it. And it's that his book was called Legion. And if you know what Legion means, of course, there you go. So when we're investigating, as you can see in that trailer, we exercise an entity in this, in our show. We don't exercise a person. We actually exercise an entity that's in a house. And I'll tell you, with our film images, we go in there. These people were complaining about, you know, some terrible stuff that was going on. Their bed was completely black cold, and the bed shouldn't be cold.
No.
It was absolutely black cold, like a big shadow over it. The priest sprinkled holy water onto the bed, and then all you saw the blackness, like mercury, run across the bed.
I'd like to bring you into my house, actually. Because I've actually... I've literally dealt with possession in my own home. And I find that I come under attack quite a bit because of what I do for communities and what I do to try to help people. And, you know, unfortunately, I drain myself to the point where I don't have my barriers or my guards up. And within the last year, I've dealt with myself being possessed twice. And one time it was really, really awful. And thank goodness I had people around me that knew how to react to it and knew how to deal with it. But at the same time, the place where I live, Las Vegas overall is a very, very, very haunted town. I mean, for people to look past it, it really baffles me because you have such a transient town. You look at how it is started, and not to mention that, you know, a lot of it's built on old Indian burial grounds. Then you also have the hotels where there are so many violent deaths that happen in it. And even in the Plaza Hotel, which is where the convention is going to be held at, I've literally stayed there and witnessed things that people would think I'm absolutely insane if I didn't have witnesses. And, you know, with the convention going down, I know that there's going to be a lot of things that people are going to be witnessing, but I actually wanted to have an investigation on my home that I live in, so that way people, you know, I'm a credible person, I'm a business person, and I'd be able to put my neck out on the line for that.
What area do you live in?
I live in Green Valley area, and that's still, it's basically like a suburb of Las Vegas. You can see the Las Vegas, skyline, but I'm just outside of the blast zone, so if something were to happen to Las Vegas, I'm okay.
Probably be Indian burial ground for sure out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When I moved into the home itself, I did a lot of research because the first night that we were basically setting up, and it's basically a commune is where I live. And when we went into the house, I was very clear with the management that owned the house that, you know, I have really bad allergies and I needed, like, everything clean, spotless, the ducts clean, everything clean. So the house was spotless from head to toe when we moved in. But when we walked in there the very first day, you can smell, it smelled like rancid death in the house. And there was no reason for it, absolutely no reason for it, because it was completely and totally spotless. And it was the smell of death with mold and dirt. And I know that smell.
Sometimes they have that smell of, like, rats has also smell of death because they, because of the feces and sometimes of the urine.
Yeah, so, there's no rats there. There was nothing there. It was completely cleaned. All the ducts were cleaned out. Everything was spotless because that was part of my lease agreement. And yeah. So, you know, and before even doing anything, we completely and totally looked through everything to see where the smell was coming from, and we couldn't find any reason for it. And the thing about it is the people that were living there before, they were drug addicts, they had a lot of sorrow attached to them, they had a lot of issues. And when we walked in there, the overall depression and the overall sorrow was just so tremendous. It attached itself to us. And when we went back to the other place where we were staying at, it kind of flooded that place as well. And
yeah.
So we had to bring in, you know, basically all of the energies and all of the people that we know and basically perform a simple exorcism just to get energy out, because of course I can't switch my location. I already put the deposit down and everything, and not only that, but the house was absolutely perfect for everything that we needed. Like, oh no, this is my home. You guys need to leave. And
really, you have to be strong with them. If there is an entity, that you have to be strong. They
yeah.
prey off the weak, and they prey off the drug addicts and people that have their lives messed up. I've seen some horrible things and read some stuff.
It still happens to this day, because I work with drug addicts and alcoholics, and I mean I've been shared with all types of information. Even when a person passes away, who has been a drug addict or an alcoholic, where they actually will walk into the bar, and they'll try to their body will try to dip into somebody who's living in the body just to feel that kick.
Yeah,
just to feel like
I basically consider them, and you know, when I talk to another Paracon speaker, Thomas Pendragon, who knows so much about everything, really, he's just a walking encyclopedia. You know, I don't know all the specific terminology and the definitions, so I just consider them vessels and shells for other things to possess, because they're just so lost that it just makes it easy for other energies to take over those shells and to be able to, you know, and these people don't even realize it. That's how lost they are. And within the last year, it seems, you know, as approaching Paracon, we're dealing with these people more and more and more. They just, for some reason, keep attaching themselves to us. And, you know, we have to do a lot of blocking and a lot of shielding to remove those energies and to get these people out of our lives. You know, they're like bottom feeders or parasites is what I consider them, because they have no good in them. And all they want to do is just bring you down and destroy you, which, you know, we've been dealing with over and over and over again, especially after moving into this home. It's like this home carries a certain sort of energy with it that, you know, thank goodness that we're strong, but it seems to affect every aspect and every area of our lives. And it kind of spills over into, you know, events that we're doing, and even in the middle of interviews, you know, I'll get off the phone or, you know, the interview's over, and whoever I'm doing the interview with is like, did you hear that man's voice? And I'm like, no, I didn't hear any man's voice. And they're like, oh, my gosh. And they'll actually send me over the audio file of it, and I just listen to it, and I'm just like, wow. You know, this is pretty interesting. It's, you know, it's proof that it exists to me, but I don't need the proof because I experience it every single day. Every single day, especially when I went back to New York. New York's a great town. It's got a lot of architecture, but per capita, you have so many lost souls there. It was just like when I'm walking amongst the crowds of people, all I see is just a bunch of just shells walking by and their eyes. There's nothing in it, nothing in it, nothing in it. And I'm just looking for a blip, something that can, you know, register to me. And it was like, basically, one person out of 2,000 people that I walk by, I actually get a ping, and I'm just like, oh, okay, that's not a lost person. But a lot of people don't even realize.
Chris, have you ever done any investigations in New York?
No, we went ahead to New York, but we've been mostly focused on the South Midwest down there. We are heading towards New York, and also going to be heading over to the Seattle, Oregon area in January or February.
You gotta come down to my territory.
Well, you know, I lived some time in Canada. I don't know if you knew that. I was in a rock and roll band when I was 18, and I actually put it across from Vancouver.
What was the name of your band?
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd, that's right, too.
Yeah. I took Brian, and Nick Gilder left, and Brian Adams took his place, and Brian Adams actually was thrown out of Sweeney Todd. I know. He was thrown out, and he came down here to do his solo thing, and then I took his place. And that was the band that I was in for a long time, yeah.
Okay, so now I want to go further with you, because I want to thank you, sir, for coming on. Appreciate it, because I want to get more callers calling in. I really appreciate you coming on, but I want to have you interview on my show for the whole hour later on down the road. So,
thank you for coming on. I'm always willing to work things out with you because you just totally rock in my book. So, my battery's about ready to die anyway. So,
okay, well, appreciate it. Thank you very much for calling.
Oh, no problem. And can you forward my information to Chris so that way we can get in touch and work things out and get the ball rolling on that.
It was nice meeting you on the telephone, and I was just going to say one thing before you leave. It's a very dangerous business to deal with any kind of dog entity or demonic spirit. You really definitely know what you're doing when you go after it, because the main thing they want to do is destroy your life, and they'll start by your health, your money, and then your family, or not necessarily all in that order, but they'll do it, and once they've done, the devil's very lazy, so if he can get in, he's going to get in.
That's right. You let it happen, you let it happen.
Be very careful.
Yeah, the one thing I tell people is I'm just like, always watch your 10 and 2, because you never know when it's going to basically come up, and I'm dealing with it. The more I step into the paranormal community, the more and more I see things just rising up, and I'm like, wow, okay. Let's just keep on going, because I personally don't let things bring me down. I do get weak, but, you know, once I build my defenses back up, it's pretty much like, watch out. You really just messed with the wrong person.
Well, thanks, Sarah, for coming on.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Now, you also put on your, and actually said on your video, even that in history, the Dalai Lama even got involved.
In the first, you understand that this first documented possession, it was a spiritual one. So I've always been reincarnation kind of situation. Dalai Lama is all about, Buddhism is all about reincarnation. So it was a very well spread case in history. It's a very fascinating one. And it's scary because any time somebody's fighting to take over somebody, you don't know if you're crazy or you don't know what's exactly going on. So, not to mention the way they treated people that were not, they thought were not together and insane. What they did over there was absolutely dreadful. So,
what about the rest of the group? What about the rest of the guys and the women and the women that were working with you? Did they themselves feel in a bit of an invasion on their part?
Well, we had a priest and we also had a shaman and also a medicine man, because we also were dealing with a lot of Indian burial grounds.
Mm-hmm.
We dealt with for another show, Children of the Grave 2, that we were shooting at the same time, which is what I wanted to talk to you about, Greg.
Okay.
We did a lot of, we actually caught what we believe is a shapeshifter and little people.
Yeah.
All kinds of things like that. And they were the end of the stage. They did the whole stage blessing with a priest and the holy water blessing. So on one sheet we were blessed by holy water, and on the other one we were saged. So we were going in and going out, and what we had taught was very just overwhelmingly scary. I mean,
no one got hurt in this?
Well, no, nobody got hurt, but we actually, what we had seen, we'll remember forever.
Yeah.
You guys will see that in the shows.
Yeah.
And like I said, when you get to possession, it's really hard and it's really terrible. Only 80% of claimed possessions are not possessed, they're mentally ill. And like what I was saying, I think it's an important thing to mention is that since the exorcist has come out, there's like, 100 a month exorcism. There's a new show that they're trying to push, the real exorcist, where the guy does 10,000 exorcisms in his lifetime. It's kind of like an evangelist thing. And of course, you know, people are going to say, I'm not feeling very well. I'm possessed. You know, and the thing is, it's not, you know, the clergy, the Roman Catholics, they are not going to say you're possessed until they've gone through absolutely everything to prove that you really have a sign of the devil.
Yeah.
And talking to these guys, in the, we went to St. Francis Church where a boy had his communion and where he was part of the exorcism had come through.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to him, he's like 86, he ended up 92 years old. So these are very, you know, wise old priests. And that, in a way, is scary in its own right because they have a wealth of knowledge. And when they talk, you respect them. And when they're sitting there telling you what happened, how that crucifix flew off the wall, the boy levitated, he was molested left and right, which is one of the signs of the devil, is molestation, even if it's through the family, you know. So, you know, going through all this and talking with criminologists and stuff, it's very hard to sleep at night.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, did you yourself actually lose sleep over a lot of this, or you?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
And we weren't able to finish the show on time. It was supposed to be out for Halloween, October, but it was such a heavy subject. I mean, you're dealing with six people that were possessed.
Yeah.
He had exorcisms. You're dealing with the most famous exorcism of all, which is the real exorcism, the exorcism. And then also the one from back in 1877. And it's very difficult to go through all that stuff. And then go to Annalise Michelle, the real Emily Rose's evidence. And then turn it off and have a bowl of cornflakes. You can't turn it off.
No, you can't. I mean, like I said before, I've had a few possessions myself. I actually had a young boy, 15 years old. His mother brought him to me where his eyes turned jet black and he was possessed.
Oh my God.
He just, like, he looked at me and he says, the entity that was in him, he says, I have him, he's mine. And I said, no, he's not. And he fought me and we got rid of it. But that boy was only 15, and I asked his mom where he, you know, what's like, did he do drugs, alcohol? No, he walked on a gravesite, and he was playing on the grave in a graveyard. They were doing Ouija in the graveyard, and they were picking dimes, and they're pretending they're doing making contact with the dead in the graveyard while they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the boy became possessed himself.
Yeah, and then it happened. Almost everything.
Yeah.
The Ouija board, I can't tell you how many times you get tired of hearing that word when you're dealing with that kind of stuff. Oh, I played with the Ouija board when I was, it's always before you're 18.
Yeah.
If you're
yeah. Oh, I did when I was a kid.
I was a kid.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, an interesting thing a priest told me, I think you might find this fascinating.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you can take it how you want, but it's interesting because one of the reasons they choose children is because the devil can't spell. And the eyes. That was a very fascinating concept.
Also,
he told me the devil cannot spell.
Yeah, it makes sense because I had a boy who was paraplegic, could not walk. He was in an electric wheelchair. He was physically disabled. And his mother was a professional medium, and she used to use tarot cards, and so she taught her son how to read cards, but he read four different kinds of cards, and he could read you. And I was running a psychic and wellness show, and the young boy was fascinated by me. He always thought I was like an uncle to him, so he said to me, he says, can I give you one reading? And I said, oh, okay, sure, go ahead. And he said to me, and he showed me the cards, and he says, be careful of the man who's coming to look for you. He's going to try and kill you, so you better learn to find something to take care of him and kill him too. Mm. And I looked at him, and I had this whole trembling feeling in me. All of a sudden, hit me in their chest. I looked at the boy, and I saw the boy's eyes turn a different color.
Yeah.
And I looked at the boy, and I said to the boy, I said, he's not yours, let him go. And I walked away, and the boy was fine after. But I was being tested. Because no matter what you do, no matter where you go, you put on any kind of show, you're involved with a paranormal of any kind,
You have to know what to do to prepare yourself. If you call yourself a medium, you better be prepared to deal with the other side, because you're going to deal with it. You know, it's not so easy to get in something like this and think it's okay, we're going to have lots of laughs and have a great time. There are some things you're going to be tested on. And if you don't know how to handle it, then don't get into it.
Well, this is the hardest show thing we've done, because we're dealing with, you know, God versus the devil. And when you get into that, it's very similar when you first saw the movie Exorcist, a little girl that was wonderful, taken over by, you know, the most blackest thing in the world. And when you deal with that stuff, it always is on your mind. And you always need to know that you need to watch your P's and Q's. You've got to know what you're saying. You always need to be remembering that you're on the right side. And it was a difficult show to do, but it's an incredible show, and of course, it has a very positive story in it, and I think that all our shows do that.
I remember watching the movie representation of the Emily Rose. Remember watching? Well, it came out a couple of years back. And a lot of people believed that actually it was an American girl that died from the possession. And I found out later that it wasn't an American girl. She actually was from Germany. There was actually another girl that was possessed in Germany. And I don't remember if that was the same name, but...
No, that's a different girl. Her name is... and I can split my tongue.
Yeah.
That name is... Oh, God, it's like a... Some of you guys will know it out there, but I know it. We've got the footage of that.
Yes.
And so Dugan,
something like that.
She's known as the Poltergeist Girl, and she was possessed. She did automatic writing. She walked over her body. She did exactly what basically, you know, the typical concept of the Exorcist. And the Emily Rose thing, Annalise Michelle, is an interesting concept, because, you know, at the very end, well, they were all tried, and they actually lost. They were responsible for dropping the medication and bringing an exorcist in, where the movie just kind of leaves that out.
Yeah.
And we have the footage of that, and of course we were told that we could not play certain sound bites because it did mention the name of the demon, and if you never want to say the word or mention them by name, because you empower them.
That's right.
So you must never mention the name. So we've left out the names. We're not here to empower the demon.
No.
We do have a lot of sound bites of the exorcism and the screamings and of the real exorcisms, but we did not leave in the, you know, where he says his name.
Yeah. Now, Dewey, Kelly, Marcus, Ricky, and a few other kids that were dealing with possessions, were you able to interview any of them at all?
We interviewed them exclusively. We have, they tell us what happened from beginning to end with their parents and the story of how they were put in hospitals, they were cutting themselves, they were ripping the flesh off of their arms. They were just doing, you know, basically what you think is that, somebody said to me, goes, well, that's just a normal teenage thing. And I go,
no,
I don't know if it's normal to rip the flesh off your arms. You know, I don't know about that. You know, we interviewed them incredibly, and you're going to cry, you're going to hear the stories, but a lot of it, you know, does come out, you know, positive, but there are some things that, unfortunately, they were too beyond to be saved. We had talked to a criminologist that owns the diary of the real exorcist. And he told me about a case, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it happened in Atlanta, Georgia. It was his case.
Yeah.
And he had to prove that the woman and the man, killed their daughter because she was possessed. What they do is they bitterly beat the hell out of her,
mm-hmm.
and they covered her in Bible pages. But what's the really sick thing is, first of all, she was only 8 years old.
Oh.
And the other thing is, after she died, they twisted her neck completely around like the exorcist.
Oh.
Now they're in prison for the rest of their life.
That's sick.
It is sick. And I had to go through, you know, fortunately, we had to go through all this stuff. And I said, oh my God, you know, this is just absolutely disgusting. And being positive about it, you got to share it to change, okay? We've got to talk about it to change.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, let's turn the channel, turn it off, because I don't want to hear about it. We got to change these things. And we got to realize, you know, that you can't be dwelling on the wrong side. No. You know, and you gotta know what you're doing. And I'm getting fed up of hearing these people that say, I play with the Ouija board and now, you know, I'm forsaken. You know, and you go like, oh, why did you play with that? Well, we gotta come up with something that we gotta fix that because kids are gonna be kids. You know, they're gonna go into the cemetery. They're gonna play with the Ouija board.
Yeah.
The thing is, with all these ghost hunting shows on.
But you know how you stop that? You should stop the company itself from selling it to Kids R Us.
Well, I agree. I mean, it's just on the Ouija board, though. You know, to be very honest with you, the Space Channel, Sci-Fi Channel, there's a lot of, commercialism inside ghost hunting. So all these kids say, this is so cool, I'm going to go get an EFM meter, I'm going to go get my EVP audio recorder, I'm going to get one of the thermal guns or whatever, and they're going to go out there and go, this is cool, like ghost trackers, you know. And I don't have a problem thinking about this because I have to say, would you let your children play with dead things? Would you let them play with a dead cat or a dead dog? No. Why are you letting them play with ghosts? You know, you can't do this. They don't know, they're very vulnerable. And they're gonna be the first ones going to. You know, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter because if they have a mental situation on this, they're gonna think that they're possessed, whether they truly are or not. So the end result is the same.
It is.
And that's kind of my PSA of the day, but you know, it's important that you do not go out and deal with this. Let the professionals deal with it.
Well, it's harsh.
It is.
Well, Chris, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show. We're closing our time. It's been fabulous having you on. And,
well, thank you.
I'm looking forward to seeing that video. I wanted to see it. We don't get sci-fi in Canada, so I'm going to have
to probably pick it up. But I'll get you some DVDs over there, and we can get some for your radio station for some good giveaways. It comes out December 1st. It's the PossessedMovie.com, or you can go to SpookTV.com, and you can order it online. And it'll be out December 1st. Children of the Grave is there. Spook is there. And we'll probably do a special for all three at that point. But it's been a great, I mean, sci-fi has been really great to us down here.
Yeah.
Everything's been very wonderful, and we feel good about what we're doing because we're making sure people aren't forgotten in the stories itself.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Because the thing is that this is important. We need to share this information out the world out there, and people just don't know what's going on. I want to apologize to BHIP, the BHIP Drink. Normally I do the commercial, but I had to get this in. Apologies, folks, but I do have your ad on the front of my page. It is scrolling across the screen. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Chris, but I've got you in front of my screen here. On the website itself, on BBS Radio, we're doing actually internet television now at the same time as we're doing the radio, so it's creating more public attention, and we're just having a great time doing this.
But you have all those great clothes you wear.
Yeah.
I got the greatest. I mean, I have to say, I was in Oklahoma, I got the greatest coat, American, a native coat, fabulous. I mean, I loved it. We wore it when we did something on. We're doing a big piece of Native American Coast Hunters, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And it was fabulous. It was the best time I've ever had in my life. We do skinwalkers, shadow walkers, all that kind of stuff. You know.
Oh, I'm looking forward to doing it again. Well, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
I'm going to get you back in before December anyway. Get back on again just to give people a little fresh reminder and what's going on to be prepared for all these promotions as well.
Good DVDs away, okay?
Yeah, sounds really great. Well, folks, take care out there. This is the Quest Guy Club, and you're listening Between Two Worlds on bbsradio.com. And if you want to check Chris Booth and the whole crew of the program itself, like I said, you can scroll down on bbsradio.com and see the video, the 8-minute interview as well. If you want to order the videos, you can give them a call for coming out in December. And go to Spooked. .org, SPOOKED.org, and that'll benefit you. Go in there, you can see other videos they do have available, which is Children of the Grave, the Spook, the Ghost of Waverly Hills Sanitarium. And also, you have the other one called Dark Places, and now is that actually
that's a motion picture.
That's a motion picture.
That's like death tunnel. Like, I think anybody that's in America that's listening, we have three shows this month on Sci-Fi Channel. One is Death Tunnel, which is on the 25th of October. And then the 29th of October, they're playing Spook, the Ghost of the Real Sanatorium, and then Children of the Grave right after. Check your TV guide for the exact time for your area. But they're playing three of our shows, Anyway, Digital Halloween, which we're very proud of.
Oh, great.
And that's exciting. And like I said, it's scooptv.com if you want to see everything we're doing and what we are doing, what we're not doing. So,
scooptv.com. Take care, folks. And looking forward to having a chat with you guys again. So take care, guys. Be safe out there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.